Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Good afternoon. Welcome to this lunchtime special of Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio. It's a typical April's weathery, windy, blustery, sunny, rainy day. I don't know where you are in the UK, but I've spoken to a few people all around the country today. You seem to all be experiencing the same. But welcome to the show. I've got a fantastic guest for you today. I'm not going to spoil the surprise in this particular moment, but as you know, we always start the show with a real update on a news piece. I've decided to be a little bit more generic this week because it will tie quite nicely in with today's guest. So I wanted to talk about the health of our planet and the health of our species, and perhaps what we might be able to do in order to bring a healthier environment and a healthier society back. So one of the things that really caught my eye very, very, very recently was the waterways. We seem to be hearing a lot more news about the pollution in the waterways in our countries. And this is rivers and this is our seas. There was a recent study done by Surfers Against Sewage who actually got to test nearly all the rivers across the where the rivers join the seas across the country, and there was, would you believe, not one single river that qualified as clean enough or unpolluted enough to swim in. And so that is an absolute travesty. That means that our waterways, the health of our waterways, are in a situation now where they are so toxic that they're not even healthy enough to be swimming in, let alone drinking and everything else. So what's happening here? Why are we getting so disconnected from a healthy lifestyle? So it got me thinking. It got me thinking about food, because there's also a lot of news at the moment about food, the food that we are eating, and how the foods, particularly ultra-processed foods, high sugar content foods, high salt content foods, how they are polluting us. So there seems to be this symbiotic relationship between the, you know, the human healthiness and the planetary healthiness. And then we need to look at what's causing this. So this got me onto a trail of thought about, well, firstly, industrialization of systems, factory farming, deforestation, toxicity and pollution, etc., etc. Now, these are all major issues when it comes to the health of our planet, the climate crisis, and what we can do to become a solution and not a problem to the issue. So I wanted to point this out because I think it's worth us remembering that we had a very recent global pandemic that took nearly everybody on the planet into a situation simultaneously. Yes, it was slightly staggered, but we did all have to experience more or less at the same time the pandemic, which was the COVID-19 pandemic. It was in 2020 in March when it first came to the UK. It was in China before that. And we were obviously all aware of, you know, this pandemic that had swept across the world, creating illnesses with people. People were dying on the news every day. There was just this horrible headcount of deaths that had occurred through the COVID-19 strain. And then it, you know, it morphed and changed, and people were getting sick and then getting better and then getting sick again. But what it brought me to was this. was that if our planet is unhealthy, and if we are becoming more unhealthy by the way that the masses are buying food, eating food, the big companies are creating this food that seems to be unhealthy, the only people that are benefiting from this are the, well, the organizations or the investment funds or the leaders that are invested in the pharmaceutical companies. So, of course, it's not in those big investment funds that are making vast amounts of profit from this, this unhealthy connection and supply chain, if you like, of the illnesses. It's not in their interest for us to be healthy if they are constantly looking at their bottom line. So, what's becoming more apparent is obesity, cancer, dementia. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but there is more and more proof now that this all goes back to the health of our diets, what we are putting into our body. And at the moment, that situation doesn't seem to be getting any better. It seems to be getting worse. So I just wanted to flag to you all that there are some solutions. There are some ways that we can change our eating habits. There are some ways that we can change the way that we're buying products that are less toxic to the environment. There are some ways that we can engage our families and communities and friends and peers and families just to be more considerate about what they're putting in their body and what we're putting into the planet. Because, of course, what we put in ourselves, what we're putting out into the world is going into the body of our planet. There is no away when we talk about throwing things away. The away is going somewhere into this conscious, living, beautiful being, the Earth. So if you are interested in changing some lifestyle habits, trying to get more clued up on, information that can that makes you feel empowered and educated, then you can, of course, go to mygreenpod.com, which is our ethical lifestyle website. We've got over 5,000 articles there. You can put in any subject matter from food to energy to cycling to walking to holidays, and you will find solutions that we have researched over the last 15 years that will give you some inclinations, some ideas, some aspirations, some inspiration, and solid ways of changing everyday habits that may not be contributing to a healthy lifestyle for you or the planet. So that's me off the soapbox today. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because it really is down to us to be the change that we want to see in the world. And those changes start with ourselves. So this brings me very nicely to today's guest. This is somebody that actually has been through this process of getting about as far away from a healthy way of being as you possibly can get, created not only a self-prophesizing change in the individual's health and environment, but also created an amazing media platform that could talk about ways to educate us all on how we can live a more healthy lifestyle. So you may have possibly guessed who today's guest is, but today's guest is the founder of UK Health Radio, Johan. And I just wanted to have him on the show because he's such an inspiration. His life story is incredible, and I'm hoping that his story will inspire you and anybody that you might know that is going through this type of situation, which is becoming more rife, more popular, and more mainstream. So welcome, Johan. Welcome to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Charles. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for the invitation. I really look
Well,
forward to being to speaking with you.
yeah, likewise, likewise. I mean, as we asked whether you could create an article with us for My Green Pods. We've got an article on you going out into our Earth Day issue of the magazine on Monday. And I thought it'd just be really poignant to get you onto the show at the same time so that we can, a bit like you, spread the word through all the different mediums that we have available to us. So thank you for doing that. So let's start. Let's go back in time, Johan. Let's go back in time. So how easy is it for you to talk about that moment when you were diagnosed with cancer? What was the experience in your memory of that time? And can you just take us back there so we get an understanding of how it was for you?
Yeah, sure, definitely. Not easy, let's put it that
No,
way.
I bet it's
Not
not.
easy.
I bet it's not.
Yeah. It all happened very, very long time ago now, about 13 years ago. So at the age of 46, I was diagnosed the first time. And I like to separate the two because the difference in me and in my reaction between the first and the second diagnosis was so powerful. I was diagnosed in 2011 for the first time. And as I said before, I like to separate the two because my reaction was so different between the first and the second diagnosis. The
Yeah.
first diagnosis was literally we talking cupboard dry, tumble dryer spin. You know, it I was in such a state. Hey,
Yeah.
I was not I couldn't think properly. I couldn't respond properly. I didn't know how to react. I didn't know anything. So what happened was I sort of stumbled into radiotherapy. I did ending up doing two sets of radiotherapy. But I have to admit, Jarvis, there was this feeling that stayed with me the whole time, even after I'd gone through the therapies and everything. This feeling of not being part of the process, basically. You know, I had no duties during this time. Nobody told me do sport or don't do sport or be on this diet or don't be on this diet. There was nothing like that. You know, my only duty was to be there for the treatment. That was my only duty, my only
Yeah.
job, if I could call it that. So
And
in our
was this in the UK or was this in another part of the world?
this was in Germany. I was still living in Germany at the time.
So just give me a little bit before that. How did it manifest in you? Did you start to feel ill? You ended up going to the hospital or to the doctors? I mean, what happened for you to realize that you were sick enough to have to go to get help?
It was actually it all started off with a heart attack on the tennis court.
Ah, okay,
Yeah.
right.
And about four months after I had the heart attack, I me myself and the doctors were all wondering why I wasn't feeling better.
Right.
And that's how they stumbled upon and got to the cancer diagnosis.
Right. Okay. So
Yeah.
okay. Sorry, I'd missed that bit. So you had a heart attack playing sports. You were fit and healthy. You had a heart attack. 4 months later, you still weren't getting better. Doctors couldn't understand why. Then presumably they went into deeper testing, right? And that's when
Correct.
they and they and then they found, what did they find and what did they say to you?
Well, it ended up I had my cancer. I was diagnosed with two kinds of melanomes, nodular melanome and a melanotic melanome, both of them being the most aggressive skin cancer melanoma you can have. The second, a melanotic one, can actually become life-threatening within 6 weeks.
Wow.
As I said, that was the first diagnosis. I was given a cancer-free after that in October. We're talking about 2011 now.
And
And
this is after radiotherapy, chemo. You did kind of what, four or five treatments of that.
Yes, I had two sets of 12
Two
each.
sets.
At that
Yep.
stage, there were quite a few sets. They seem to have made that shorter now. I don't know if it's stronger now because of that, but yeah, I had two sets of radiotherapy each, 12 sessions each.
Right, and then you came out the back end of that, and you were cleared. You
They
were
gave
in
me
remission. Yeah.
correct. They gave me the cancer clear,
Yeah.
and yeah, things went back to normal. You know what it's like when things go back to, unfortunately, things go back to normal. Didn't change anything to my lifestyle. Didn't do anything. Thought, been there, got the t-shirt kind of thing.
And what was normal for you then? You were a fashion photographer. You were clearly fit and healthy. Were you living a, you know, were you living a kind of artist's, you know, a kind of lifestyle, out partying all the time, and you know, I guess drinking, and I don't know. I mean, what was your lifestyle like?
Absolutely. I was definitely living. I was a fashion photographer for 25 years up to that point. And it's not the healthiest industry on the planet. So I always joke, I say I go to bed. Well, I get up now when I used to go to bed. It's not quite there, but almost, almost, you know.
So you were
So
pretty much
yeah.
partying a lot, and that was all part of the fashion culture. And I guess you being the photographer as well, you had to be around, you know, at the beginning and at the end, right, to make sure you got everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're 25, unmarried, it's a hell of a life, a wonderful life. When you 45, 46, married with two kids, it's hard work, especially the
Completely
partying
different.
part of it. And yeah, and it's not only that, it's physical hard work. You know, I used to travel with two assistants, and we used to carry 70 kilograms of equipment on location. That's what we that's over and above the stuff we used to rent on location. So and a location, especially on location, when you're on location, you sleep 3 to 4 hours a night, and sometimes for 14 days in a row.
So
You
you're
know,
just getting
so it's
completely run down.
yeah, it's crazy. And what I realized later on was the time pressure, you know, stress. Everybody's always talking about stress, but there's so many different kinds. And in my case, and the one that really affects me is time pressure. When I am, you know, and as a photographer, you're always under the gun, always. So
Okay, so that thank you for that. So that just gives some context. So, I mean, we're gonna have to go to a commercial break in a moment. What I would like to ask you before, in fact, we'll come back to this after the commercial break. But the question is, okay, so what happened next? So you went back to your old kind of lifestyle, living in exactly the same way as you were. Sounds like you were diagnosed again with the same cancer or a different cancer. And you can tell me more about that. So we'll just go to our commercial break and then we'll come back to that question again in a moment. Stay tuned. See you all in a moment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm here with Johan, the founder of UK Health Radio. Well, this is a fascinating subject, Johan. I mean, we were just about to get into your second diagnosis. I know this is not easy for you to talk about, but what happened? So what was the next part? So you'd been, you know, you'd gone into remission, you'd been cleared, and then what happened?
Well, it was actually during my first post-cancer screenings, 6 months later, that I was told by my oncologist that the cancer had returned with a vengeance, basically, and that it had spread to my lungs, etc. Actually, I had seven tumors all in all. Two were operable. But the others weren't, and yeah, that was the second diagnosis, which I have to admit, and I'm actually that's why I separate the two, as I mentioned in the beginning. The second one, my reaction to it was totally different. I remember sitting in my oncologist's office, and I could her telling me about the diagnosis, and I can still hear my voice in the back of my head screaming at me, saying to me, "Not going to happen. You are not going to die. And that's why I separate the two, was my reaction. As I mentioned, the first one, I was in a total frenzy, actually. I was useless and hopeless. The second time, not. I think through the experience of that first going through everything, realizing that I wasn't in control, I think it was almost like a mental preparation for the second one. And Jarvis, the word diagnosis is, people take it too literally. It's a prognosis. It's somebody's opinion, and it's none of it is chiseled into stone. If people say it's a diagnosis of you've got 12 months to live, who says that? As I said, it's a prognosis. It's that person or my oncologist's opinion at that point in time.
They did some tests. You got the cancer. They highlighted that you got the cancer, which is pretty severe, but then you recovered. And so you recover. How long were you in recovery for then?
Yes, well, after the 12 months to live diagnosis, it took 2.5 years to get rid of everything, all the tumors. But the journey there was the interesting one because, well, after they sent me home and gave me 12 months to live, I basically went home and had to find other options to survive. And I did. I stumbled across a short little sentence written by Dr. Warburg. He was a German biochemist that said cancer cannot survive in an oxygenated, alkaline, cellular environment. This was, people don't realize how profound this was. When I read it, I knew that instant, I knew that I'd found a way not to die. I actually
Yeah, so
woke.
this is the key, isn't it? This is the key. This is what triggered your consciousness, your awareness that actually you could perhaps go on and get on a journey to fix this. So just say those words again, because I think they're really poignant. Cancer cannot survive in an oxygenated alkaline body. Is that correct?
Cellular
Envi
environment,
environment,
correct.
environment. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what did that mean to you? I mean, most people that are listening, what does that even mean? And why are we not living in an alkaline, oxygenated environment? What's stopping us from that?
Yeah, it's actually very simple. It's got to do with our pH in our bodies. Now we have two pHs. We've got a blood pH, which we can't do anything about. That's what it is. It is what it is. And then we have a pH in our cells on a cellular level. And that is directly influenced by our nutrition, our reaction to stress, etc. But in my case, I started with nutrition, of course. So pH 7.2 is neutral. Everything below that is acidic. Everything above that is alkaline. Now, cancer cells feed their food, they eat sugar, glucose, in other words. So everything that is acidic turns to glucose on a cellular level. And so you're basically fueling the cancer.
Yeah,
You're
you're feeding it.
actually,
You're feeding it.
you're
And
feeding it. Yeah.
with an
Depending
alkaline,
on
sorry, Johan. With an
correct.
alkaline response, you're essentially taking its life force away.
Correct. You, in my case, I starved it away, starved it to death, the cancer. As I said, it's not a quick fix. It took me 2.5 years, but I was riddled with it. I had them all over. I even had a tumor in my left eye.
Wow.
So,
So
of course, my
hold on.
doctor
Let me
didn't.
just get just for everybody that's listening, because of course they wouldn't have heard the first part because of the technical issue. So let's just backtrack a little bit. So you were diagnosed, you had the heart attack, you were diagnosed with cancer, and then you got better. Then a year later, you were diagnosed with a much more serious terminal cancer, and they said you've literally got up to 12 months to live. Yeah.
Correct.
You heard this line about, cancer cells can't thrive or can't live in an oxygenated alkaline environment. Now, What do I'm just trying to get my head around this, first of all, because obviously it's completely mind blowing. Most people, when they hear that they've got 12 months to live, would probably fall into disarray, would just be so overwhelmed with the stress and all of the thoughts that would come into that. What, how did you deal with that? How did you respond to that? Because clearly you had a very different response. It was this line that empowered you, or you felt empowered by, but how did you go about getting the information, getting the resources, getting to understand what you needed to do? Because I'm assuming that didn't come from the medical, current medical pharmaceutical industries. So what did you go and do?
Yeah, very good question. That was in 2012 now. We are in 2012 now, the second diagnosis. There was no information on lifestyle and stuff out there like there is today. You know, today, literally, if you Google it comes up. In those days, it wasn't there. So after the diagnosis, I literally went home. Made a very big mistake. I didn't tell my wife about the 12 months. I did tell her that the cancer had returned, but I didn't tell her about the 12 months. And
Why
a
did you?
really
Why
big
did you?
mistake because
Yeah, why did you make that choice? Why did
I.
you didn't want, you didn't want her to have to be hurt and upset, I suppose.
I think it was a little bit of a wall defense for me as well because. As I said there in the oncologist's office, I made a decision that I wasn't going to die, literally. You know,
Okay,
it's
so
like,
you've committed. You committed.
I was committed. I knew I had to find a way. Unfortunately, it took me 7 months to find that sentence of Dr. Warburg that cancer cannot survive in an oxygenated alkaline cellular environment. And at that stage, I was really ill already. As an example, the morning I read that, it took me 20 minutes to walk up two flights of stairs.
Right, so you were really ill by that
I
time. Your
was really
body
ill.
had given up. Your body had
Yeah, I
just
mean,
shut down.
the neighbors and people, you know, our neighbors said I had that gray color in my face already, you know. So,
Life force is
yeah,
gone. Yep.
correct. But when I read it, it was like, wow, it was incredible. So, my wife and I started, and by this time, of course, I had told her about the 12 months because she could see I was deteriorating
Yeah,
terribly, you know,
rapidly.
quickly.
Yeah.
So we started, and that day, whatever we read, we implemented, you know, with alkaline food. We downloaded an alkaline chart from the internet, really not knowing what we were doing, but we just got into motion and did. And just carried on and on and on. And I think the second boost I got was about 3 months after we started. So now I'm feeling good already. I'm feeling better. I had a surge of energy that literally, I always try and explain it this way. I always say for a normal person, it was probably not more than an ankle high swell. For me, it was like I was surfing a tsunami. I had a surge of energy that just made me realize that what I was doing was working. So we just carried on and on researching and implementing and trying new things and et cetera, et cetera. So that's how all this came into being.
Okay,
Of course,
brilliant.
it didn't just stay with the nutrition. It went far, far beyond that. You know, then we started looking into stress and toxic overloads and all this kind of stuff as well. So.
Okay, brilliant. I do want to really deeply get into that because I think it's going to be so important to understand what that journey was, what the foods were, how, but as you know, I always ask my guests to bring a song just to, firstly, to give us a little bit of a break, just to recharge and, particularly on such a sensitive subject. You've chosen a couple of songs. We're going to go with your first song. Tell us what the song is that you've chosen, and then once we've played it, we'll probably go straight into the commercial break, and then we'll come back and you can tell me after the commercial break what and why you chose that song, what it means to you. So what's the song you've chosen, Johan?
The first one is Never Enough by Lauren Allred.
I love this song. This is Never Enough.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. I'm here with the founder of UK Health Radio, Johan. We're talking about his journey from cancer to health, setting up the, this amazing authority in UK alternative health. So, Johan, let's just talk a little bit more about you, and then we'll move on to, what, how, and why you set up UK Health Radio. But let's just get back to you, so we can just put in a put a put a you know. Put the end to the story, if you like. But what was the journey for you like? Like when you did all the research, you were trying to find out about, alkaline foods. What could you remember any significant moments of what you were eating and what the changes were and why they were important?
Yes, Jarvis. I mean, I literally the first thing that you learn is that you look at the chart and you see meat, all those things are just so acidic. So I literally became a vegetarian overnight, and just 2 or 3 weeks later became a vegan. And today, and I have been for about must be about 11 years now, an alkaline vegan. So I only eat alkaline food. Very important. The water that you drink, people always forget about that. It's probably as important, or maybe even more important than the food. I only drink distilled water. I've been doing it for years. You have to, of course, look at the minerals that you lose when you distill it. You have to replace them. But with Himalayan salt, you can do that. So yeah, it's I always say, people always say to me, but yeah, but you had to give up so much. I don't see it like giving up. I see it as
No.
making space for something new.
Yeah.
And that is, I think that's made it very easy. And of course, I mean, I had no choice. If I wanted to
Yeah.
stay alive, I had to do it.
Yeah.
So a total
Yeah.
different purpose behind it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a sacrifice to me at all. When people say you had to give up on so much, but actually, yeah, you had to give up on the things that were killing you. I mean that kind of like it's kind of common sense, isn't it? That of course you would give up on the things that, and I think this is the problem, if I may say, on a macro level, this is the problem with society, isn't it? That we don't want to give up on the programming or system that our kids are born into, which is predominantly controlled by industrial, food companies that are putting, ultra processed foods, high sugars, high salt contents into the supermarkets, into the everyday shopping environment. So, giving up on something that's not healthy for you, surely that's an absolute bonus. So hats off to you, Johan, for doing that. Is there anything you can look back now and go, oh, I remember eating that for the first time and thought, oh God, this is awful. Or did it do, was it just all natural for you? Was it just all a natural process of change?
It really was a natural process. It's not as if we never had vegetables or anything like that. I must admit, a parsnip was something new. I'd never eaten parsnips before, but they always tasted nice right from the beginning for me, so it wasn't an issue. But Jarvis, I can you've spoken about the food industry. People are always knocking the pharma industry, and believe me, they're by no means innocent.
Well,
But
no,
I
but they're
got
just trying to fix a problem, aren't they? I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah, but I got
It's the
some.
cause. It's the cause of the problem, isn't it? That's the where we need to look at.
Yeah, definitely. But the food industry, I got some numbers here that I thought you would be really interested in. The pharma industry in 2023,
Yeah.
the gross profit, their gross turnover was $1.48 trillion,
Wow, wait.
with a so 1.4 with a profit margin of 18%.
Gosh.
The food industry, hold your hats, $9.36 trillion, with a
What?
45, almost 46% gross profit margin.
Wowee. Wowee.
And this is what we're up against. They're not going to change it. They're
Yeah.
not going to change what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
we have to change. We have to
Yeah.
take control.
Of course we do. Of course we do. And actually, often, I mean, we've worked with a lot of retailers in the past, from the Icelands and the Marks and Spencers and Ocado and various others. And the feedback that you get from them then will basically do what our customers demand. So, they will change if us, the customers, will demand the change. But it seems like this pandemic, is actually much worse. The unhealthy food sources that we're giving to our children, that we're eating, that we're constantly in the cycle of buying. I mean, I did hear some great news just this week, because I listened to a couple of alternative podcasts that are out of the legacy mainstream news spin. And there are some challenges in the US right now, really trying to get food stamps, which are obviously given to those, poorer communities across America, which is vast. They're trying to stop you being able to buy ultra processed foods with these food stamps, which is for the kids. So, there is some awakening to legislation. There is some movements happening. But the thing we've got to remember is they are big lobbyists, these food companies. They spend absolute fortunes lobbying leaders and governments around the world in order to keep their, multi-trillion dollar businesses alive and afloat. I mean, that 45% profit margin is absolutely insane. I mean, that just shows you how corrupt it is, to at the very least. Why are we paying 45% extra on top of foods that we shouldn't be, particularly in this economic climate crisis environment that we're living in right now? So, we are in a real mess. Johan, we're coming close to the end of the show, and what I really want to talk about is obviously, how you got into setting up UK Health Radio. What was your mission? How do you feel you are on that journey, and what's to come? So we have a choice now. Do we want to play your second song first, or do you want to go straight into that and we can play out with your second song?
Yeah,
We'll do.
I think let's play out with it.
Yeah, great. Okay. So you got better. You self-prophesied, self-healed with your wife, by the sounds of things. You clearly had a team effort. Very much in my lifestyle, I've got a team effort. My wife's really good at cooking all that healthy, vegan, plant-based, nutritional, mineral-rich, organic food. So I'm very, very, very lucky. But what was the epiphany moment? So you healed yourself, and then you thought, what? What happened next?
Yeah, well, at this stage, I still had cancer, and I just wanted to. I had this. I wanted to prevent other people in my situation having to go through the same 7 months of heart-wrenching searching and getting sicker and sicker all the time.
Yep.
So I wanted to create a platform where people could go and find the information they need. And I've always found radio to be a very personal medium. And if done correctly, like on UK Health Radio, it can literally feel as if the person listening is the only one being listened to or being
Yep.
spoken with.
Being
So
spoken to. Yeah.
as if you're speaking to one person only, you know?
It's
So, and that's the
a
reason
very
why.
personal medium, isn't it?
Correct. Oh, absolutely. And that's the reason why I then looked at UK at radio, basically.
Mm-hmm. And this is
The
in what year?
main.
Just give us the where are we now in time?
This was end of 2012, beginning of 2013.
Okay, so it was the end of okay.
Yeah.
So was it during that cycle?
Correct. So, as I said, still had cancer.
Yeah.
And the reason it became UK Health Radio in the end was I approached a few people and said to them, I want to do a health radio. And the first question they asked me was, who are you and what do you do? And I said, I'm a fashion photographer, and they slammed the door in my face. So I called it UK in front to give it a more official sounding name, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
So
it
that's the
does, it
reason.
does.
Yeah, that's the reason for that. And yeah, and it's just as I said, I wanted to create a platform that allopathic and natural health, everything else can exist together on one platform. It doesn't have to be one or the other. An integrative approach is basically what saved my life. So using both aspects of health to create something wonderful.
Yeah, which you have done. I mean, you've done. I mean, that was a yeah, so that was a journey that started roughly about 10 years ago, and your vision was strong. Your vision was to get, more independent, less mainstream news out related to health and how people could actually take responsibility for their own health. How do you feel 10 years on? How do you feel like? Do you feel that you've achieved your goal? Do you think that you're still in the middle of it? Have you got a lot further to go? Like, where were you at 10 years on?
Oh, I've got a long way to go. I don't have a limit on. We have 1.4 million listeners per month now, and it should be billions. It shouldn't be millions. So I feel that all of us have a lot of work to do still, a lot of educating to do, and the more we educate, the more people can take back their own health, take back the responsibility for their health, and feel confident enough. I think that's the main thing, to make them feel confident enough to take away, to take back that responsibility for their own health.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very wise word. I think, we've got to remember, haven't we, Johan, that, the systems that are out there to keep us bought into the economic cycle that we're in. Firstly, there's two things. Number one, we can now see that that cycle, that economic circular process is actually driving us to the sixth mass extinction when it comes to climate, when it comes to health of the planet, when it comes to health of people. So number one, we need to break the system, or the system needs to be broken. That will come from customers, from consumers, because we're the majority, where we spend our money, where we put our money. That's number one. But the other thing is actually, as you say, is stepping away from legacy media, mainstream media, because unfortunately, a lot of the mainstream media is owned by the same people that own the food companies that spend the money on advertising. So the news and the content and everything else has to feed the narrative that the advertisers want because they're funding these channels. So, of course, that's a system that I'm not necessarily sure we can completely trust. And then the other part of that is that, we are, I think we're in a very critical time of change right now because we've seen this. The pandemic, and we're seeing now that perhaps some of those vaccinations weren't tested before they were tried on people, and people got very ill, and people become very sick, and there's been a lot more deaths since the vaccinations and etc. So, can we even trust this system? And you've clearly identified that, not to be conspiracy theory at all, because of course that's just a silly thing to say. But I think we've got to be aware that perhaps systems that are underwritten by economic and monetary value are perhaps not the systems that have our health and our well-being as the most important thing. Is it, would you agree with that? Would you say that's a fair comment to make?
Definitely. I think If I could say that, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, and people will see right through it. As soon as they put a bit of effort and a bit of thought into something, not thinking about something, thinking into something is there's two different things about it. And as soon as you start doing that, you see immediately the holes in the system, and they're huge.
I think that's a, I think that's a beautiful moment to end. Johan, you've been an extraordinary guest. I think your story is fascinating and, mind-blowing for those of us that haven't experienced what you have. There are going to be people out there that are going through this right now that are experiencing what you have. What quick advice would you give them, like that really got you through this? What is the one piece of advice you would tell everybody to use from straight from your heart?
Definitely become part of the process of keeping or attaining good health. I think that is, you have to be part of the process. Nobody's going to fight for your life the way you are. The doctors and these people, they're doing their best, but they've got 30, 40, 50 of us that are ill all at the same time that they have to look at. So concentrate. Get into do the research, do the work, and then when you have the information, make that decision, that conscious decision.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you very much. We're going to play out with your second song. What song have you chosen?
The second song is David Bowie's Starman. It just reminds me of my past as a photographer and sometimes of today as well. It feels like I'm from another place.
I think some of us are, that's for sure. So this is Starman by David Bowie. Johan, you've been an absolute pleasure. Anybody that's listening out there, please share this podcast with your friends. Please get everybody to engage with UK Health Radio. Spread the message far and wide. We're at 1.45 million listeners. We need to get to 8 billion. We can only do that with your help. Thank you very, very much. This is David Bowie's Starman. I'll see you next week. I'm Jarvis. Thank you, Johan. Much love to you all. See you soon.